Think of the words as we sing this. We're going to start with number 83. And think of the Heavenly Father. Think of Jehovah. 83.
Thank you.
99. Last one, 188. 1:8.
The 19th Psalm tells us that God has been revealing himself in a variety of ways. First, we can see him through his wonderful creative works. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the worlds. Psalms 19:1-3. David is telling us that the heavens and the skies convey a message about God. He tells us that the message we hear is continuous. From day to day and night to night, their silent words go to the ends of the earth. In other words, what we can observe in creation reveals part of the divine glory. Creation is an external manifestation of God. Sometimes you can tell something about an artist by the way he creates his art. When we look at the work of God's hands, we see some awesome things about our Creator. We see that he plans on a gigantic scale. When we look at pictures of the universe, we stand in awe at the immensity of what we see. Among scientists, there is a debate as to whether the universe is finite or infinite. Our telescopes just can't see far enough to know. But even if it is finite, the size of the observable universe is simply mind-boggling. You know that one measurement of distance that astronomers use called is the light year. It's the distance that light travels in 1 year. A light year is roughly equal to 6 trillion miles. Astronomers tell us that the present distance to the edge of the observable universe is estimated to be about 78 billion light years. That is 468 with 21 zeros, or 468 sextillion miles. The observable universe contains about 7 times 10 to the 22nd power of stars. Many of these are organized in about 100 billion galaxies, which themselves form clusters and superclusters. The number of galaxies is probably even greater based on recent deep space observations from the Hubble Space Telescope. The furthest observed galaxy was discovered in 2004. It lies over 13 billion light years from Earth. In Psalms 147 and 4, we read, "He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name." Is that possible? Are there enough names for that many stars? It certainly speaks something of not only God's ability to think of enough names, but also that he would even care to name them all. He is a God of intricate detail, and nothing goes unnoticed or ignored by him. Let's take a look at something a little closer to home. Here is a picture of a galaxy named the Whirlpool Galaxy because of its shape. It is 31 million light years from the Earth. That's 186 with 18 zeros, or 186 quintillion miles. If you wanted to visit that galaxy and were able to convince NASA to let you use one of their spaceships, you could travel at approximately 25,000 miles per hour. Now that sounds pretty fast, but at that speed it would take you approximately 845 billion years to get there. And that's a relatively close 31 million light years away. Now really, 25,000 miles per hour is very slow by space standards. So let's step it up a little. Let's say you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. At that speed, it'd take only 31 million years to get there. Let's say that by some miracle you got there and just wanted to take a short journey across the galaxy. The Whirlpool Galaxy is about 90,000 light years across. That's 54 with 16 zeros after it. Miles. Traveling at the speed of light, it would only take you 93,000 years to go from one end of the galaxy to the other. Let's come a little closer to home. The nearest star to the Earth, other than our Sun, is called Proxima Centauri. It's part of a grouping known as the Alpha Centauri triple star system. It's a mere 25.2 trillion miles from Earth. Proxima Centauri is the small red star in the center of the picture. It's actually so faint that it cannot be seen with the naked eye. It was discovered in 1915. The Alpha Centauri system is primarily visible from Earth's southern hemisphere. If you wanted to travel to this nearest star again, going at 25,000 miles per hour, which, by the way, though very slow compared to the speed of light, is still just under 7 miles per second. So just imagine every second you would be 7 miles further. At that speed, you could get from Chicago to Orlando in less than 3 minutes. Traveling at the speed it would take you 115,000 years to reach Proxima Centauri. At the speed of light, it would take 4.2 years to reach our second nearest star. It takes about 8 minutes for the sunlight to reach the Earth, and that's very close. Let's go back to the Whirlpool Galaxy for a moment. Notice the companion galaxy next to it. These two galaxies are actually working in tandem to form new stars. Some astronomers believe that the Whirlpool's arms are so prominent because of the effects of the smaller yellow galaxy. The smaller galaxy is known simply as NGC 5159. You know, it's difficult for man to come up with creative names. We just give this galaxy a number, whereas God has named every individual star in that galaxy. This galaxy appears to be merging with the Whirlpool galaxy. The Hubble telescope has shown, however, that it is actually passing behind the Whirlpool galaxy. The Whirlpool galaxy is more of a flat pancake shape. This small galaxy has been gliding past the Whirlpool galaxy for hundreds of millions of years. As the smaller galaxy drifts by the larger galaxy, its gravitational fields creates waves within the Whirlpool galaxy. These waves are like ripples generated in a pond when a rock is thrown into the water. When the waves pass through the orbiting hydrogen gas and dust clouds, they interact with the gravity from the core of the Whirlpool galaxy. An immense pressure is created that compresses the hydrogen and dust together. The dark, dusty material orbiting between the spiral arms looking like gathering storm clouds. These are the hydrogen and dust clouds. Under the immense gravitational pressure, they collapse and are fused together, creating a path of new stars as seen in the bright pink star forming regions. The bright blue and white specks are actually clusters made up of hundreds of thousands of stars. We're not seeing any individual stars here. These specks are all immense star clusters. They illuminate the Whirlpool's arms like city streetlights. It is simply amazing what is going on in this intricate display as we see the birth of new stars. Here on the lower right, we see some specks that we might think are just stars. They're actually giant galaxies in the far distance. And there's one more scientific point that we need to cover, and that regards the time that the Big Bang Theory was formulated, when Edwin Hubble discovered that the universe is expanding. Most heavenly bodies are traveling away from each other, and the further away they are, the faster they're moving. The Big Bang Theory concluded that about 13.7 billion years ago, all matter in the universe began as one tremendously dense and hot central core. This core then exploded and shot all the matter we see in the universe outward, away from the point of origin. When we think of a Big Bang, we might think of a wild, uncontrolled explosion. But the Big Bang that began the universe actually had to be very finely tuned. Scientists tell us that if the force that holds the atoms together, known as the nuclear force, was a tiny bit stronger than it is then, the single proton atom as hydrogen could not be formed. Its nuclear force is so slight that it can only retain one proton in its nucleus. 90% of all the atoms in the universe are hydrogen. All the stars are made of hydrogen and some other gases such as helium. They also say that if the strength of electromagnetic force, that's the force that draws atoms together, if it was not precisely tuned, if it was a little stronger or a little weaker, then atoms could not join together to form molecules. If that was the case, the universe would consist of just random atoms and no complex substances could be formed. Another indication of a finely tuned explosion is found in the force of gravity. If the force of gravity were just slightly different than it is, the stars and galaxies and solar systems could not have formed. If the temperature of the Big Bang was slightly different than the universe as we know, it could not form. If the rate of expansion was slightly different, then the universe would not exist. All of these finely tuned forces joined together when God precisely released the energy and matter that created our universe. Nobel Prize winner and physicist Dr. Steven Weinberg said, and we quote, "Life as we know it would be impossible if any one of these several physical qualities had slightly different values. One constant does seem to require incredible fine-tuning." Weinberg went on to quantify the tunings as 1 part on 10 to the 120th power. In other words, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by 1 part in 1 with 120 zeros after it, there would be no life in the universe. The universe was fine-tuned to sustain life from the very beginning. One more quote. This is from Dr. Michael Turner, an astrophysicist at the University of Chicago. He describes the fine-tuning this way, and we quote. He said, "The precision as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side. Is there any evidence for an intelligent designer? Not only is there evidence, there is overwhelming proof of a designer and engineer brilliant beyond our understanding. Whether it's physicists realizing how a tiny temperature difference at the time of the Big Bang would have avoided life as we know it, or the biochemist discovering the complex and delicately balanced molecular qualities that make blood clotting possible, intelligent design and planning can be seen everywhere. Brethren, these are just a few examples of the heavens declaring the glory of God. God demonstrated that He has unlimited power, unlimited creative ability, unlimited scientific knowledge and understanding. He has demonstrated incredible precision in His work, which shows His absolute control over all things. Who are we in His presence? And yet He considers us. He loves us and values us above all these amazing things that He has created. Jesus said that He even knows the number of hairs on our very head. As amazing as His natural creation is, it does not now fully tell of the loving heart of a Father who wants to reveal Himself to His children and bless them in the process. Not only do we see God in the heavens, but in the natural processes of the earth, we also see His stamp. Listen to the words of Elihu as he speaks to Job and marvels at the simple things that we often take for granted. He says, "Remember to extol His work, which men have praised in song. All mankind has seen it. Men gaze on it from afar. How great is God! Beyond our understanding, the number of His years is past finding out. He draws up the drops of water, which distills His rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how He spreads out the clouds, how He thunders from His pavilion? See how He scatters His lightning about Him, bathing the depths of the sea. This is the way He governs the nations and provides food in abundance. At this my heart pounds and leaps from its place." Listen. Listen to the roar of His voice, to the rumbling that comes from His mouth. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, "Fall on the earth," and to the rain, "Shower. Be a mighty downpour, so that all men He has made may know His work." The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters His lightning through them. At His direction, They swirl around the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands him. Job 36. What a God we have who created all things that we need for life. He's given us the air, the water, the snow. He brings the clouds and gives us the sun for our blessing. Reprint 1562, Brother Russell says that what we see in the heavens are speaking of an intelligent designer, wisely adapting means to good and benevolent ends, and ministering to the necessities of his intelligent creatures. God's provision for us shows a loving, caring Father who gladly bears the responsibility of providing for the family he has brought into existence. We have two scriptures in closing. The first is in Psalms 8, verse 4, and David says, "When I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I'm inspired to realize my insignificance in relationship to God, who is overwhelming." Psalms 8 and 4. And finally, we end with the words of Jude, "To the only God, our Savior, through Christ Jesus our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen."
Brethren, remain seated for all verses, and at the conclusion of this, we'll ask Brother Kent to close in a word of prayer, and then stay seated, please. We do have a few announcements. Number 223A.
Lord, hear our prayer. Father, still pray.